o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show. Anthony Mandela here with you, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the former Packer and Badger running back, Gary Ellerson, Ryan Horvath alongside producing the show as well. Mark Simon of SportsInfoSolutions.com, MarkSimonSports.com, joining us a short while ago talking about Yasmani Grandal, the newest member of the Milwaukee Brewers, David Stearns and company, inking him to a one-year $18.25 million deal yesterday evening. In terms of base salary, he is now the highest paid player on the Brewers roster. In terms of total salary, he's the second highest paid player, second only to the monster contract that Ryan Braun signed. But a dive inside the numbers, as we went through with Mark Simon, could imply that he's well worth that money, or it might have even been a bargain. Asking you, 414-799-1250, is Yasmani Grandal worth the money? An $18.25 million price tag, at least on paper, for a guy that hit 241 last season, probably seems a bit steep to a few people. Are you one of those people, Sparky?
Look, when this thing happened last night, and it was a one-year deal, and I didn't even know what the money was, I wasn't overly excited then either. I don't know why, for whatever reason. Never been a big Grandal fan, I guess.
I haven't either.
And then, you know, everybody says, well, just ignore what happened in all of his postseasons. Just focus on the regular season. Well, that's great, but if you expect to go to a World Series, postseason's going to be a thing at some point. If he's your starting catcher, then he's going to be expected to do something. I would hate to be in a situation like the Dodgers last year where you get in the postseason, this dude melts down. I don't want to do that. I have no interest in watching that fiasco. He almost cost him. So, after doing some research, and I saw Mark Simon's stuff came up on Twitter last night on the fan account. I retweeted it. I thought, that's a good sign that he's so good at framing pitches. You knew the power aspect was going to be a big thing. Me and Baby Tosh were going back and forth. He hated it upon hearing about it as well. I said, well, don't go on Twitter because Brewer fans are loving it. So if you go on Twitter, good luck. And then I talked to Baby Tosh this morning, and he said he was feeling better about it. I'm feeling better about it as well. I just find it hard to believe that this market size can spend $18.2 million on a catcher. I don't care if it's one-year deal or not. That's a lot of money. Brian Dozier went for $9 million, was it, to the Nationals today? That's him and then a premier bullpen guy or something like that. You could have fixed two positions or added to the bullpen domination that you're hoping to have going forward. Instead, you drop 18.2. Now, having said that, the projected opening day payroll right now is somewhere around $20 million more than the highest it's ever been. Like 123 or something like that. They aren't done. They're still in play for Moustakas. They're still in play for Jed Lowry. So Josh Harrison's name, I've heard that bantied about as well. So they're not done adding salary. So all this talk about, well, the Brewers have no money. Well, the Brewers are capped by budget restraints and all this other crap. That was just that, a bunch of crap. So I don't think anybody knows what the number really is that Mark has set for David Stearns, as far as, okay, you can spend some more money, but this is where we're going to draw the line in the sand. No going over this number. I obviously don't know what the number is. Is the number 150? Well, is the number 140? Is the number what? It's got to be at least 130, 135. If you're talking about Jed Lowry or Moustakas or Josh Harrison or whoever it's going to be, that's got to be a pretty damn big number. I went to bed last night going, how in the world can you afford to do this? And when I woke up this morning, I started really thinking about it because this has been on my mind since last night. Let's be honest. I've been thinking about this nonstop because I got hammered on Twitter last night from all these guys that wanted to talk about his stats and his numbers and what he did in the regular season. And don't worry about his crappy batting average and the fact that he leads the league in pass balls. Those things aren't important, Sparky. It's everything else that's important. Okay, well, that's fine. Don't tweet at me when he loses the Brewers a baseball game here or there throughout the year with his pass balls. Don't tweet at me when he's striking out with guys on base throughout the season either, because I don't want to hear anybody talking about, oh boy, Grandal's killing us. No, it's the whole big picture. That's what we're talking about here, which is fine. Offensively, is he going to produce more than Manny Pena or Kratz or whatever else? Yeah, he will. And he should have monster power numbers, you would think, at Miller Park if he stays healthy and plays. So there's definitely that aspect of it. The framing of the pitches or whatever else, I'm not sure anybody can really judge that from a fan perspective one way or the other. You just take these guys' words at it that do all these stats that he is as good as he says. So if that helps the pitching staff, I'm all for that too, right? That's a positive too. My issue just is $18.2 million in Milwaukee. It's a big number. But obviously, Mark Antanasio has determined that the number that they're going to spend on budget is much, much larger than any of us ever thought it could be. So now we just got to wait and see how much more money they're going to spend. Because if it's Baumgartner, that's $12 million. So you added that on. So now you're at $135 million. Then if you get Moustakas or Lowry, that's what, $10, $12 million, something like that. Now you're at $147 million or something. I mean, seriously, the opening day payroll might be $150 million. By the time it's all said and done, it might be somewhere around $150 million. Tell me, Brewers fans, if you thought the opening day payroll could be that much ever in your lifetime. Because I certainly didn't think so. But after last night and giving this much money, knowing you have other holes still to fill, and you can't possibly be done at this point, because Grandal is at $18.2 million, Anthony Mandela, that's kind of a go-for-it move.
Yeah.
But now you can't stop going for it. Now you got to try and finish this deal.
You have to be all in.
If it's going to be, okay, this is a World Series or bust year, which I'm all about, Gary Ellerson, we know this. If that's what this is going to be, then you still got to go get me a second baseman, and you got to get me a starting pitcher to go in the front of this rotation.
That's exactly, and it's very hard for me to put my brain kind of in the role of a multimillionaire owner of a team. Like, I got a couple of singles in my wallet and some change in the cup holder in the car. But what you were just getting at, Sparky, where this is, I think in his mind, a World Series or bust type thing, I wonder if he hasn't just given David Stearns carte blanche on this season because he knows he's got a little bit of lightning in the bottle, but saying, don't go out and be spending $50, $100 million on guys where if it doesn't work this year, we can't get out because I was screwed in 2012, 13, 14, 15, paying all these guys money for us not to win any baseball games. If he's just saying, hey, if you can get a guy on a one-year deal, pay him 25, pay him 10, pay him 15.
Right.
I don't even care. Because we got something now. As long as we can get out of it, go for it. We're going to make our money back this year. It's if it doesn't work and then we're losing and still stuck in these contracts for the next 2-3 years.
I agree with you as far as the one-year deal, and I would think the second base position will be the similar type deal because if everybody believes Keston Hira will be up here at some point,
sure,
that'll probably be a one-year contract as well as second base. Baumgartner, if you get that deal done at some point, that's an expiring contract, 1 year left on that deal. And then all that money that you blew this year will then be
off
the books and you're ready to go. So I get the one-year thing, but still, even for 1 year.
I love it.
It's a large number. Oh, so do I. If they're going to do this, if they're saying, to hell with it, we're going to try and go buy this thing. Think about it. If you add Harrison, Lowry, or Moustakas to this lineup on top of Grandal.
Why not both?
And then
two.
Okay. And then
I'm just saying, Josh Harrison and Moustakas, let's say you go get.
Okay, well then what's going on with Shaw? Where's he going?
He's going to platoon.
Don't you, stop.
He's going to fill in at second, first, and third.
Right. So
he's a great teammate.
But if you add Grandal and say Lowry or Harrison or Moustakas, one of those guys, to go along with what you already have offensively, that lineup is among the deepest in baseball immediately, mm-hmm. without question. And then if you get Baumgartner in a trade, and again, these are a lot of ifs, but if that happens and he becomes Madison Baumgartner again in a contract year, which I think will probably happen because it's a contract year, to go along with Jimmy Nelson, who's getting ready to come back.
He announced, that he will be ready to go?
Ready to go at spring training. So he's coming back to go along with everything else you have, plus the young arms. Yeah, they're going to be in a position to win a World Series, folks, if they can finish this off, get a second baseman, and go get Baumgartner.
Yasmani Grandal, 1 year, $18.25 million, asking you, is he worth the money for the Milwaukee Brewers? 414-799-1250. Taking a look at some of these contracts for catchers across Major League Baseball, well, $18.25 million, kind of put that in perspective a little bit amongst some of Yasmani Grandal's peers. We're going to talk about that next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Now, Hank, you just got to tell me, did your daddy really write all them songs? Did he?
I don't deserve no answer, Hawk. Let's light up and just move along.
Do you think he wrote them about your mama or about the man who done her wrong?
You know that.
Yeah, back then they called him crazy. Nowadays they call him a saint. Now the ones that call him crazy
still riding on his lane.
Well, if he was here right now, Bo Cephas, would he think that we were right? Do you think he might?
Don't you know he would walk towards you, be right here by our side.
If we left for a show in Provo,
be the first one on the bus and ready to ride.
Hank Williams Jr. bringing us back from breaks all afternoon. It's
they
a
call
Thursday.
Him Bo Cephas.
What?
They call him Bo Cephas.
Anthony doesn't understand.
I feel like I'm back in Iowa with this music going on today.
Look that up if you don't know what that is.
That sounds like a job for Ryan Horvath. Ryan.
Harvey, look that up.
It's a throwback Thursday brought to you by Masters Ease. You can win $25 in gift certificates to Masters Ease by tweeting at 105.7FM The Fan with the hashtag Big Throwback. As part of Throwback Thursday, Gary nominating Billy Joel, Sparky with Boyz II Men, Anthony Mandela, myself going with John Coltrane. Ryan Horvath wanted to hear New Edition, so you can go with an artist that we chose or an artist of your own. Ryan, do we have a voting update?
Oh, yeah. Billy Joel's in.
Running with it?
Yeah, he's running with it. I haven't seen any other votes, actually. Boyz II Men, I think, got one. It's all Billy Joel.
Damn.
The Doobie Brothers had some steam earlier, but nope. It is Billy Joel running away with it right now.
All righty. 414-799-1250. We're asking you, is Yasmani Grandal worth the money? The Brewers, David Stearns, inking him to an $18.25 million deal, one-year deal for the catcher. You might remember Yasmani Grandal from last year's NLCS. Dave Roberts eventually benching him for the remainder of that series because he looked for a short while there like he was going to send the Brewers to the World Series, the things that he was doing behind the plate. But as we had Mark Simon on earlier, of course, a 3-4 game stretch does not a player make. Yasmani Grandal last season, I think a huge part of looking at the value in a player and in a catcher in particular is just being able to be out there every day. And there's simply not a lot of catchers that can be considered everyday catchers in Major League Baseball these days. He's a switch hitter, one of six players last season that got enough plate appearances to qualify for the stats and records in Major League Baseball. Yasmani Grandal among them. He hit .241, 24 homers, 68 driven in with the Los Angeles Dodgers last season. An OPS of .815, which was second in the majors only to JT Realmuto. And in terms of that salary, Sparky, which is at the crux of what we're trying to get at here, the second highest paid player on the team only to Ryan Braun, the third highest paid catcher as of now in all of Major League Baseball. You look at some of his contemporaries, a guy like Wilson Ramos. Name circulated around the Brewers on the rumor mill. Half.
Half the money.
Mm-hmm. He signed with the Mets. And the pitch framing, the defensive aspect of Yasmani Grandal really touted from a statistics standpoint as kind of what makes him special. His pitch framing, his strikes saved, defensive runs saved, those kinds of things. Some of his contemporaries in that area, Tyler Flowers of the Atlanta Braves, making $6 million. Christian Vasquez making $4.5 million. The more I look at this in terms of the relative salary of a catcher, I'm totally down with David Stern spending the money if he has the open checkbook and just going and getting guys that make you better. I don't think you can argue against Yasmani Grandal as somebody who's makes your team better when your options were guys hitting under .220 for all of 2018, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really excited at first, and now I'm not so positive.
So you
that it,
did.
I'm not so positive that it was money well spent.
Well, let me just say something here.
You went the opposite.
That's okay if you guys don't mind if I jump in your baseball talk a little bit.
Your name is on the show. You can talk whenever you want.
Okay, well, look at me then. Hey, how you doing? here's my first thought when I saw it, Steve.
What we're here for, right?
Yeah.
Not glory, not a...
Yeah. Yeah.
What in the world?
What was that?
I don't know what that was.
Yeah. Keep going.
Okay. Is he okay?
I think he's all right.
All right, Harvey. Was that a drop or what was that?
I'm not sure.
Look at it. Look at it. Here's what I thought when I first saw the deal. Stearns is going to be making moves like this all season. This is his thing. I mean, we've come to know right now what this guy is all about. And he's about plugging. It just feels like, and we talked about it. See, he's kicking tires, and if it works, if it makes sense, he does it, plug it. One-year deal. Yeah, $18 million. Is it 18.2 to be exact?
Yep.
18.25.
To be exact.
To be exact.
But it's a one-year deal, and that is so David Stearns like, I'm you know, if it doesn't work out, I'm done with it. I'm cutting ties. And so I'm okay with it. I'm to the point, Steve, this may get us in trouble. I don't know if you're there yet, but I'm to the point in Ted we trust. And David Stearns we trust. Now that's a tough place to be at when you start doing stuff like that. But so far, everything he's done, it has worked. Who am I? Well, I guess I can criticize if I want to. I like the deal. 18. It's a big number, but I like it if it's only 1 year. And, Steve, you've already talked about short porch for this joke if he hit from the left side of the plate.
Switch hitter.
It's a switch hitter.
Yeah.
But short plate if he hits from left, got power, Miller Park, seems like it works.
I just want to comment quickly on what he just said. I had this
What
is going on? I had this conversation earlier. Just turn off the
He's
producer.
Off. He's off.
So, for me, it's... this whole in Stearns we trust and Ted we trust stuff.
That gets in trouble now.
I hated the in Ted we trust stuff. It drove me freaking crazy.
Yes, it did.
And the Stearns is going to drive me just equally as crazy as the Ted
stuff. Is there a lot of that out there?
I had this. Well, I'm assuming it is, yes. I just had this conversation with a friend of ours earlier today, texting back and forth. And he's like, we're going back and forth on this Grandel deal, and he was fine. And his final thing was, dude, I trust Stearns, so whatever,
yeah.
Right? And I said, you know, that's all fine and dandy.
I said,
but the people that annoy me the most are people that just say, whatever he does, I'm good with.
No.
I'm not going to analyze it myself. I'm not going to look at anything.
No.
I'm just going to be good to go with that blind loyalty crap.
Well, that's our guy.
Well. Yeah, look, you know me. I love Stearns. I'm trying to get the man a contract extension. So for me to even remotely criticize anything Stearns does – normally never happens on this show. Normally I'm like, dude, that's a great trade. Dude, I love that signing.
Yeah.
That's a great low-risk move. This one here, I don't get.
This is a low-risk move, though, Steve.
$18.2 million is a little bit more than low-risk.
Well, the money.
Low-risk is $5 million, $3 million.
The low-risk is you're done in a year.
Well, from that perspective,
and
it's not long-term
again,
money.
And David Stearns. He's hot. He thinks he's going to catch lightning in the ball. You can't tell him he ain't hot.
To me, this isn't about Stearns.
Who's about?
This is about the owner of this baseball team and what the budget is. We don't know. All the beat writers writers were saying coming up to this point of, hey, look, they're pretty much financially strapped. This is what it is.
No, we don't.
Don't think it's going to be Yelich or Kane again because that's not going to happen. And this is kind of where they are right now. And Stearns even him and hawed a little bit about what they were going to be able to do this offseason.
Correct.
But if I'm right on numbers, this thing can get up to about 145, 150
yes.
opening day roster. They're at like 123, I think, right now. Rejected.
Well, they don't
have a second baseman unless you want to play Perez at second base.
What are the moves you think they're going to make?
They're going to get a second baseman,
okay.
Whether that's Jed Lowry or Moustakas and Chagos a second, whatever,
okay.
Josh Harrison.
And what else they got?
That, I still think that Madison Bumgarner deal is going to happen eventually.
So. I don't think so.
Because if this is we're in, then they're going to give up whatever they got to give up
no,
to get Madison Bumgarner.
That just didn't feel like him to me.
They're going to do whatever they got to do to kind of go for it.
I still think this guy.
You don't think that was a go for move today? Or last night, Grandel?
Doesn't feel like
$18 million for 1 year.
That's not a go for it.
That sounds like a go for it.
No,
because
it's not, Steve.
Think about it. You're going to lose. You lose a draft pick.
Go for it is when you're doing. Yeah, I can see what by that.
You
okay.
lose a third round pick.
Yes.
You don't get to.
Yes.
You don't get a qualifying offer next year, so
sure.
You're not going to get the pick back on compensation.
Sure.
You don't get that as part of the deal. So you're out the draft pick. Now you can say, well, we're going for it now. I don't care about draft picks. I'm good with that.
Right.
Totally fine.
Right.
And I agree with you. But I'm just saying, if you're going to go for it, then let's finish
it. Go for
it.
That's not him.
And let's finish it.
He think he can get there by doing this. You want to take a phone call there, big guy?
Yeah, let's go out to the phones. 414-799-1250. Asking you, is Yasmani Grandal worth the money? 1 year, $18.25 million. Michael in Brookfield, you're on the fan.
Hello, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, listen, this was a very good move by the organization picking up Grandal. He's a person that his numbers proved that he could be a very productive player. You got to understand that he turned down many offers and took the offer with the Milwaukee Brewers because he saw something in Milwaukee. It's a hitter-friendly ballpark. He fits in well in a clubhouse. He probably will get along with a lot of the guys that we already have in our clubhouse, the camaraderie that we have. And Milwaukee is a very appealing place for a lot of players to come. I'll tell you something. It's a one-year deal. It's a lot of money, yes, but I think that he has the ability that he must have said something to David Stern that Stern was sold on, and he will be a producer for this team. I don't think that David Stern is all that done yet. I kind of disagree with you. If you hold on for a minute, I'll let you know why I disagree with you with Madison Baumgartner. I don't think he is the person that would fit in well to our pitching staff. I think the glass ceiling will be broke, and Grandal came out of nowhere. And listen, David Stern is going to pull something out that is going to break the glass ceiling, and MLB is going to be shaking their heads. He's going to sign a five-year deal with a pitcher to come to Milwaukee, and the guy that he's going to be signing is Big Dallas from Houston.
I was hoping you weren't going to say Dallas Keuchel. I don't want Dallas Keuchel on this team. I have no interest in Dallas Keuchel on this
Why?
Team. Because I'm bitter.
Why are you so bitter? Well,
he's a clown. He's the clown last year that was ripping the Brewers and everybody else doing what the Brewers were doing and saying it was costing money in their pockets. It's the wrong way to do it. You're going to get guys hurt and everything else. He ripped the Brewers last year. I don't want that clown here. I'm not interested.
If he's not going to go after Dallas, then why not go after the guy that has blue running through his vein, which the staff really would like him and probably would miss him? Go after Wade Miley and sign him.
They very well could bring back Miley. I think that's a legitimate
possibility. Thanks for the call, Michael.
Yeah, that very well could happen. That could be a deal where the Brewers are saying, you get an offer, you let us know what it is, and then we'll let you know if we want to bring you back. And I think that's happening with Moustakas, too. I do.
Both of those guys, Steve.
I don't
exactly
know if
right.
You saw the tweet today. Suter retweeted it, and we happen to follow Suter, so I retweeted it. Moustakas, Yelich, and Braun are all doing a charity softball tournament out in California for the Wildfires. Come on, man. Yeah. You're telling me you don't think he's – I just don't see it.
Where's Adam McAvoy at?
God, I think he's coming back.
Another aspect of that call from Michael, though, I'm pretty sure I understand. How is signing Dallas Keuchel breaking the glass ceiling?
Because it's a big name free agent.
But I don't.
$20-25 million a year. Where the hell Dallas Keuchel's
going to get?
That's not
what the glass ceiling is.
He thinks Keuchel is that much better than Madison Baumgartner.
But I'm just that's okay. We'll talk about it at the break. But
sure we can.
Glass ceiling is one thing. Beautiful glass windows from Gina Dell is a whole other thing.
Don't break those.
No, don't break those. Well, you can. We replace them. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, best windows and doors out there.
Like when Gary says we.
Pella has nine different lines.
He's
going to
put the window in for
you. No, I'm just going to come in with a megaphone and just order out stuff. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process. And right now they're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months, no payment until June of 2020. Experience the Pella difference. When you work with Gina Della from Pella, you work with her and her entire team. The job is going to run smoothly because the Pella team is doing it, guys. Don't worry about the code. The Pella team installs year-round. So call 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Or go to Pella Windows or go to PellaWI.com. Ask for zero down, zero financing, zero payment for 18 months and tell Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, Gary and Leroy sent you.
The Brewers, Yasmani Grandal. 1 year, $18.25 million. The deal, is he worth the money, Brewers fans? 414-799-1250. The conversation continues when the Wendy's Big Show returns.
Sports Flash right now.
Hey.
Well, my mama met my daddy down in Alabama. They've tied the knot, so here I am. Born on the bayou on the Texas line. Loved in Louisiana and raised on Jambalaya. By the time I could walk, I had a guitar in my hand. By the time I could talk, I had my own band. Went on the road when I was 8 years old. Turned 15, I was stealing the show. Money to burn and the women were pretty. It didn't take me long to learn that I was born to boogie. When I was 18,
I went to Hollywood, I met Elvis and Marilyn and Johnny B. Goode. Got my guitar painted, California sun, a red Cadillac, having too much fun. Now we played in them halls and jamming them, and we moved it on over to MGM. This is a little boy we've been telling you about. He lit a cigar and he stuck his hand out.
Hank Williams Jr., Throwback Thursday, presented by Masters East.
Bo Cephas.
Did Horvat ever dig up exactly what you're talking about?
He doesn't know. He's too young for that.
He's pretty old. He's like 35, 40. How old is he really?
I'm not 35.
Whatever.
Hey, how old is he?
Turn your mic off.
Is he really 35? Is he older? How old is he, Steve?
No, he's like 30. I don't know what he is.
Let me defend myself. You got my mic turned off back here.
Well, you were answering the phone, I didn't want you to be accidentally leaving your mic on answering the phone.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
These callers aren't as important as you calling me 35 years old.
So how old are you?
31. 32 now. I just turned 32.
Do you know how old you are, really?
I just turned 32 in October.
When you can't remember 32. How old you are, that's when you know you're getting old. Someone asked me the other day how old I was, and I had to pause. I'm only 25.
We've had this conversation on the air before, and people rip me for it. I think once you get to 40, then things start going downhill.
Yeah.
Other people say it's like 50 or 60. But
did he call me 40 years old?
It's called comedy. It's called comedy, Ryan.
But that's just rude.
Yeah, you just got to be careful about comedy, because not everything is funny.
Well, me and Horvat go at it
all the time.
He's like an older brother.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
just not that older though. Not the 40-year-old brother. All right, I got to get back to my job, guys.
414-799-1250. Asking you, is Yasmani Grandal worth the money? $18.25 million price tag, 1 year deal for the Milwaukee Brewers and their new catcher. Also, it's Hank Williams Jr. on a Throwback Thursday presented by Masters Ease. Tweet at 1057 the FM the Fan using the hashtag Big Throwback to vote for your artist for next week. Gary Ellerson going with Billy Joel. Sparky wants to hear Boys to Men. I had John Coltrane. Ryan Horvat wants to hear New Edition. By last count, Billy Joel was just absolutely running away with this thing.
Which is fine.
Billy Joel. Yeah, I get down with Billy Joel. I saw that the Brewers tweet that he was going to be coming earlier today, and mm-hmm. I listened to a little bit of it.
I like Billy
Joel. When I was doing my reading and show prep and stuff for today.
I want to go see that or not. Billy Joel.
414-799-1250. David in Waukesha, you're on the Fan. Do you think Yasmani Grandal is worth that money?
Yeah, I think he's worth it. Last season they had issues with their catchers hitting below 230, and I think he brings the spark that they need in that position, honestly.
Well, right. I think the upgrade that they wanted to do, obviously, was catcher. Up the middle, catcher, shortstop, second base. Thanks for the call. I think that's really where you were looking to upgrade offensively.
Absolutely.
And if he's as good as defensively as Mark Simon says he is, which I tend to believe Mark Simon and all those advanced stats and numbers and so forth, as far as framing pitches and helping team ERA and all that stuff, and then you're going to deal with losing games on pass balls and whatever the case may be from time to time throughout the year, then that's something you're going to have to deal with. And his career high is 27 on homers. I would have to think at Miller Park he's going to top 30. You saw Yelich. I mean, Yelich was a doubles guy with potential to have huge power. And right away in his first year at Miller Park, he blew up. So it's going to happen, I think, for him as well. And then, you know, he goes into free agency next year with a chance to get that multi-year deal that he blew, that he could have had with the New York Mets and turned down to gamble on himself. And it backfired. Nobody else came at him with nearly the same amount of money.
Does Yelich have that year again next year, or does he get better?
It's really hard to match what he did last year.
I was about to say.
For how hot he got, for how long he did.
I was about to say, I don't think he can get any better, but who am I going to say? I have no idea
so
how
does he
good.
Does he match that year or no?
I don't know if he'll match that year, but he's a perennial all-star player, man. He's that guy. Remember at the beginning beginning of the year, Gary was going to say Corey Hart.
Yeah.
And we were all like, you're nuts.
Yeah.
And then
he was Corey Hart.
And then all of a sudden he blew up and Gary's like,
Robin,
he's not Corey Hart anymore.
Yeah, he passed those numbers.
I mean, he's now that guy that we all said, do they have that guy? And he's definitely that guy. And, you know, next year, Lorenzo Cain stays healthy. Yelich, Braun, obviously, because your outfield depth stinks now. Mm-hmm. Braun has to stay relatively healthy. And then can Aguilar have a similar year as he did last year? We still have questions.
That's a big one, I think. That's my big question mark is what are you going to get out of Jesus?
Right.
And the pitching staff. But in terms of one guy.
Adding Grandal takes pressure off Aguilar as far as what you're expecting from him for production, because that's another bat with pop in that lineup. If you look, Kane can hit you 20 homers, right? Yelich is going to hit you 20 to 30. Braun should hit you 20 to 30. Grandal's going to hit you 20 to 30. Aguilar's going to hit you 20 to 30. Those are big numbers. Travis Shaw should hit you 20 to 30 every year, right? So that's more there. And now if they bring back Moustakas and Shaw goes to second, that's another 20 to 30 guy. Literally, seven of the eight position players are going to be plus power guys outside of shortstop. Every other position will be a 20 to 30 home run guy in a bandbox. That's a lot of offense. A lot. Right?
A ton. It's a ton of offense.
Arcia's going to slap five or six over Walmart.
But here's the thing. Right. Because if you look at Cincinnati right now.
Ton of offense.
No pitching.
But they got Derek Johnson.
But they could come in Miller Park and score like crazy.
Oh, right. For sure. And now they've already added a couple pitchers this offseason to that rotation. And they added maybe the best pitcher coach in the National League in Derek Johnson. Yeah. So Cincinnati could be a sleeper team this year.
Get to the phone calls there.
414-799-1250. Because we got to get to Rob Reich a little. All right. Let's squeeze in John. John, do you think Yasmani Grandal is worth the money?
I'm saying two things.
Uh-oh.
One.
Uh-oh.
Bocephus.
Yes, sir.
Is the nickname that Hank Williams Sr. gave to Hank Williams Jr. when he was a baby.
Tim, how old are you?
So I got to let y'all know that.
Tim, how old are you, Tim?
It's John.
Oh, how old am I?
Who is this, John?
This is John.
Tim? This is John?
I'm John. I'm 61.
How old are you? How many?
61. See? I'm proud of it.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Only you and I, John, knows. Tell him again. Tell him again.
Well, Hank Williams Sr. gave it to baby Hank Williams Jr. when he was an infant.
And according to good old KS, after the Grand Ole Opry comedian Rod Brasfield's ventriloquist dummy, that's where it all came from.
Oh, that's outstanding. I didn't know that.
Something else for
Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah, but it came from Hank Sr.
There you go.
John, before we let you go, real quick, do you think Yasmani Grandal is worth that money?
I will say that it stings quite a bit, but it's not my money, so go for it.
I love it.
I like it. Thanks for the call, John. So I guess kind of just because – so, Sparky, do you think
– one more thing here on the Brewers. Jeff Passan of ESPN. Country musician now upgrade. The Brewers are in, quote, heavy pursuit of an infield upgrade, according to Jeff Passan.
There you go.
Heavy. What are your thoughts on Passan at ESPN? Well, that's for another day, but
– That's for another day. Ask Tim Allen about Jeff Passan.
Yeah, get with Tim.
I'm a big Passan guy.
Oh, don't talk to Tim Allen about Jeff Passan.
We went over this before.
You and Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was legendary stuff there on the air.
We're going to talk with the guy that everybody likes, Rob Reichel of BobMcGinnFootball.com, Forbes.com, when the Wendy's Big Show returned, kind of rehashing what a successful season would be for Matt LaFleur in his first season as the Green Bay Packers head coach. That's next on The Fan.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I. Sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that's when I fall. Now I can't help myself at all.
Hank Williams Jr. on a Throwback Thursday presented by Master Z's. Gary nominating Billy Joel. Sparky, Boys to Men. I went with John Coltrane, Ryan Horvath. Had New Edition. Go with one of those artists or an artist of your own. Tweet at 105.7FM The Fan using the hashtag Big Throwback for your chance to win $25 gift certificate to Master Z. Is Rob Reichel, a regular friend of the show. Do you have a Throwback Thursday nominee you'd like to throw in the ring while we have you here?
Well, I would give you Pearl Jam every week, guys. But,
you and Wes Helms, man.
But isn't Billy Joel? Did I hear he's coming to Miller Park?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, then I gotta
doubling down.
I gotta double down with Gary there.
But, all right,
let's roll that. That'll be a fun concert.
I can get down with that, Rob. By the way, you can follow Rob on Twitter. Find his work at BobMcGinnFootball.com and at Forbes.com. And Rob, your latest for BobMcGinnFootball.com, kind of talking about Matt LaFleur and. If he's going to be successful in your eyes, he's got to figure out what he's going to do with Aaron Rodgers. How do you anticipate he might have to go about that? Is it as simple as, you know, sitting down and having a beer, or is it going to be really more of an X's and O's talk to try to get this guy on his side?
Yeah, I think it's the second of those there, Anthony, without a question. I mean, the one thing Rodgers really wants to have happen here, I think, in the last 4, 5, 6 years of his career, is to be challenged intellectually. And I think he had kind of hit that point with McCarthy and McCarthy's offense where that just wasn't happening. And it probably hasn't been happening, guys, for a number of years. And, you know, if LaFleur comes in and brings the McVay offense, brings a lot of what he learned with Shanahan, and this is new and exciting and it's challenging and it's reinvigorating for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I think you're going to have the star pupil's attention from day one. If Rodgers doesn't buy all the way in and these are concepts and things that he's not 100% sold on, I think they're going to have a problem. But clearly it starts, guys, I think, with communication, with these two getting to know each other better, with Rodgers buying into the system. And I think really, guys, it's important that LaFleur right away establishes the fact with Rodgers that, hey, this is the offense, this is what we're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it, not vice versa, where Rodgers is ad-libbing and calling as many plays and kind of deviating from the game plan and the scheme like he did in the later McCarthy years.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rob, on that. I want to just back up a little bit because I know you always tell the truth and keep it 100 all the time. I just want to go back to the interview yesterday with the three talking heads up there. Tell me what you did or you didn't like about the interview yesterday at
1265. Sorry, Gary, the whole press conference on a whole or just LaFleur's angle?
All of it.
Well, I hope that
all the way to Mike, all the way to Mark Murphy, to LaFleur, to Gutekunst. What did or you didn't like?
You know, I hope Packer Nation is never subjected to 15 minutes of opening remarks again from Mark Murphy. I don't think that was, my biggest takeaway, honestly, Gary, was this was the Mark Murphy show, and Mark Murphy lost the spotlight, and he's really soaking in and enjoying these moments now where he's kind of front and center. A part of me felt bad for Brian Gutekunst, wondering what he was even doing there. And Gary, I kind of left wanting to hear more from Matt LaFleur. I think there were a lot of unanswered questions. We'll get those answers here, guys, as the offseason unfolds and there's more time spent with a guy like LaFleur. But I did not think a 42-minute press conference needed 30 minutes of remarks and answers to questions from the team president right now. I mean, it was clear that he was the star of this show yesterday in his own mind, and I'm not exactly sure what the fan base wanted it to be that way. You know, Gary, my other takeaways were, I was really surprised that Murphy said after 9 candidates, he didn't really feel great about anybody. Nobody wowed him or blew him away, and that he was so glad LaFleur knocked it out of the park in interview 10. I appreciated, I guess, the honesty and his candidness on that, but it wasn't exactly flattering to the other 9 guys that interviewed, including Joe Philbin, and I assume there'll be some bullet board material when Green Bay sees some of those coaches, and they will. Obviously, Gaze was already hired since he interviewed with Green Bay. At some point in time, paths are gonna cross there. That was a takeaway. And then, LaFleur was obviously nervous, guys, and I guess that's understandable. My understanding from talking to some people is he is a total X's and O's guy. An X's and O's guy. He's not a dynamic speaker. It's a little bit out of his comfort zone. He'll grow into that, I'm sure, he stays on the job a number of years here. But, those were kind of the big ones, Gary, I guess, that jumped to mind. And the next time I think we meet with Matt LaFleur, I would rather it just be Matt LaFleur.
Ask him. That's pretty good. That makes him worth the money. He's averaging that. For every, I think it's for every 191 he blocks and 8 and change get past him, which is about average for a catcher. That's perfectly fine when he's doing all the other things that he does.
And the other thing about Grandal is you talked about his offensive numbers, him being a left-handed hitter at Miller Park. I think his career high is 27 in home runs. He very well could surpass that in that bandbox Miller Park being a left-handed hitter.
Yes, 815 OPS last year, 120 OPS plus. There's real Muto at the very top when it comes to offensive catchers, but he's in that next tier. You don't get that many of the Joe Mauer types at catcher anymore. Both Buster Posey's not what Buster Posey was a couple of years ago. Grandal's pretty good. I'm going to convince you that this is a good signing.
We're talking with Mark Simon. You can find his...
What role does this fill for us?
It fills the offensive role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it makes your pitchers better. It'll shave points off their ERA because he's getting strike calls that other catchers aren't getting. And you can expand the strike zone. Look at what Glavine and Smoltz and Maddux especially had when they were in their prime at Atlanta with the catchers that they worked with. And they were able to get those extra couple of inches off the plate. They were able to get strike calls in really important spots that allowed them to get out of jams and get out of innings and keep their ERAs down.
So how many games will he play?
Well, he's played 130 to 140.
For the Brewers.
How many will he play? The last 3 years.
How many will he play for the Brewers?
Probably the same amount.
I think he'll play 120 at least.
Right. Talking with Mark Simon of SportsInfoSolutions.com, MarkSimonSports.com. As you were getting at there, Mark, he's one of the best pitch framers in Major League Baseball. He and two others tying for the MLB lead in strike zone runs saved last season. That's the metric that you guys use to measure, essentially, success at pitch framing. What exactly goes into that when you say pitch framing, and how much of that is on what Yasmani Grandal can do, and how much of that might be on working with a staff of pitchers in L.A. that I think, for the most part, we can agree are pretty talented and probably pretty good at hitting their spots to begin with?
Yes, so without question, the pitcher plays a role in that. But the catcher is playing a role in that too. And if you talk to them, I've done a couple of things with this. The way that it really has to do a lot with the way that a catcher can turn his wrist as he catches the pitch and bring it back in where the umpire doesn't necessarily pick it up. So that's a component of it. Pitch framing. Who should get rewarded for pitch framing is a question that we've certainly looked into. I can tweet out a link to a research paper that we did many years ago. There are a lot of different factors that go into it, but the catcher and the umpire are the ones that play the biggest role. And the point I'm going to make, too, is this, that there are a lot of like backup catchers that are really good at this. Grandal is a starting catcher who plays every day and who gives you good. And the value in that, you might not see it in a game or two, but you'll see it over 140 games. And he will. Guys like that, and like Austin Barnes, who was the backup in L.A., those guys bring ERAs down. Ask any Brewer pitcher at the time that they had Lucroy what it was like to pitch to him. I'm sure they loved it.
He is Mark Simon. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark A. Simon Says. Find his work at SportsInfoSolutions.com, MarkSimonSports.com. Mark, fantastic stuff. Thanks for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Sure. Can I just plug sportsinfo_SIS on Twitter as well?
Absolutely.
You absolutely can. You can do it again now that you have everyone's attention if you'd like.
Thanks. Twitter, sportsinfo_SIS. Follow us. I think you'll find it very informative.
And it's not just baseball. You guys
do
other stuff,
too. It's everything. Used to be Baseball Info Solutions, but they're broader now. They've got stuff for everything.
They're all over football, too.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Thanks again, Mark.
See you guys.
Mark Simon joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935. So, as Mark Simon just put it, Yasmani Grandal brings a lot to the table from a statistic perspective and seemingly a pretty big upgrade in terms of track record compared to the backstops the Brewers already have. But when it all boils down to it, is he worth the money? $18.25 million. The Wendy's Big Show will discuss just that when we return.